Hey, St. John, welcome to the Post Sermon Podcast. I am Deaconess Dahlia, and with me today is Pastor Adam.
Hey, Deaconess, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing well.
Today we will be discussing the sermon from Sunday. And remind me, which Easter Sunday are we on now?
We just finished up Easter 5.
Easter 5. Very good.
Or we started Easter 5, and then it becomes it's Easter 5.
Okay. Easter 5 and Pentecost is just around the corner.
Yeah, not too far.
And before we get to Pentecost, I might as well just announce right now, the Ascension Day service will be Thursday, May 26th, I believe is the date.
I'm checking my calendar as we speak.
And it is at 7 p.m. First time we're having this service, and it is the 26th,
right? Yeah, May 26th, Thursday, 7 p.m.
Yeah, so hope anyone listening, if you are hesitant or unsure, it should be a really nice service, and love for you guys to come.
Yeah, I'm not preaching then, but I'm thinking of bad sermon ideas, like what goes up must come down. That'd be a bad one. And I remember hearing one Ascension sermon one time that really annoyed me, but it was more because I'm a nerd. And it was someone confusing Star Wars and Star Trek, and was referring to Star Wars, but then said, "Beam me up, Scotty." So it's just, you can't do that. So those are bad Ascension sermon ideas. So we'll see what Vicar does. The lack of response is to show Deaconess just does not care about what I'm saying here.
It's just difficult to know how to respond sometimes. I am looking forward to hearing him preach as well. But let's know more about Ascension. Let's talk about Easter 5, your sermon. Tell me about the text that you preached on.
Yeah, it's Revelation chapter 21, the second to last chapter in Scripture. And it gives this beautiful description of the new heavens and the new earth coming down. You get the new Jerusalem, and it's this beautiful declaration and promise of how death will be no more, tears wiped away, everything's put right. And the beautiful idea of God is with man. God dwells with us forever.
That has to be one of the most comforting passages in Revelation.
I think so. And especially being so late in the book and knowing all the fear and fanfare Revelation gets, what a way to end is to head towards this beautiful scene of the new creation and all being put right.
Now, we also had a passage from the book of Acts and then Gospel of John as well for this Sunday. Mm-hmm. May I ask why you decided to go with Revelation 21, not one of the other readings?
Yeah, I think I did the Acts 11 reading last time around, so 3 years ago. And there were a couple of options for John readings, actually. You could have done John 13. This is the new command, I give you, love one another. But I really liked sticking with the John 16 reading for the gospel lesson. But a while back, I picked the epistle reading, and I just thought it'd be good to speak about our true hope as Christians and to really lean into that, because I don't think I've explicitly preached on those verses yet.
And I am curious, why in the lectionary do you sometimes have two options for a reading?
I don't fully know. Sometimes there are, it seems like the lectionary committee, whoever those people are, right? They sometimes give options. And sometimes Sundays kind of can have different emphases. And so a good example would be the first Sunday of Advent. Often we will read one of the Palm Sunday accounts of Jesus entering Jerusalem from Matthew, Mark, or Luke. But it's also not uncommon to do a reading of Jesus predicting, you know, the judgment that's coming, you know, the day of the Lord, and we think about the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And both of those themes are quite appropriate. You know, Advent, thinking about the coming of Christ, right, as he enters Jerusalem, but also thinking about his second coming. And so some Sundays have that dual meaning. And right now in Easter, we are still focusing on the resurrection. We're focusing on the new reality brought in Christ. But we're also starting, as you said, get ready for Pentecost. And John 16 is especially focusing on the coming of the Spirit and how he will speak in truth.
So it sounds like they have maybe too many to choose from. And so they just give you a couple and let you make the final call.
Yeah, sometimes that's how it goes. But it's most weeks the three readings are set. But every so often you get these two choices.
What was the central teaching in the sermon?
The central teaching in the sermon is that Jesus reveals the end of the story to John. We actually get a glimpse of what all goes down at the very end through John, through Christ's revelation to him.
was the problem that the sermon sought to identify?
The problem the sermon sought to identify is how, for honestly, it's not the end yet. And since it's not the end, there's still tears, there's still death, there's pain, mourning, grieving. These are still our present reality right now. But one day, not yet.
And you said in your sermon that you saw this most acutely at funerals, correct?
Yeah. Especially, you know, at a funeral, it's always this, it is this mixture of grief and confidence as a Christian. You have the grieving, the fact that this loved one has died and we're going to put this loved one's body in the ground. And at the same time, we're going to read passages about the resurrection. We're going to speak of how the Father raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. As we put the body in the ground, we read the scripture that says, "Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" And it's this mixture of confidence and grief. And so knowing that, I really wanted to kind of lean into that, because you have a reading like Revelation 21 that we read aloud today of this beautiful ending and the confidence that's there. And yet it's read in the midst of a world full of grief and so much more.
That's so true. When we read Revelation 21, it's this beautiful, happy, almost like a fairy tale ending. And right. We read it and there's so much comfort, but that's not what we see. And it's like what you said in your sermon, in the midst of whatever we're going through, such as grief, we have those thoughts of, I don't like this. As wonderful as this picture is that we read in Revelation 21, that's not what I'm seeing right now. And I don't like this reality at this moment.
Yeah. And I liked not fully clarifying that I don't like this, because I'm sure it can be quite personal. And depending on what we are facing, what tears, what death, what grieving, what pain. But it's just a general, I just don't like this, because it should be better.
So then how did you get to Jesus?
How did I get to Jesus? I got to Jesus through John. Jesus reveals the end of the story to John. You know, it's pretty interesting to think how of all the apostles and what Christ reveals to them, Jesus chose to reveal the book of Revelation to John. You know, write these words down. They're trustworthy and true, he tells him. John is not only the witness to the end of the story, John is quite an important eyewitness amongst the apostles. We know from his gospel, he's standing at the foot of the cross, and he hears Christ say, "It is finished." He sees the Romans pierce Christ's side, and the blood and the water comes out. You know, John runs with Peter to the tomb and reminds all of us he runs faster than Peter. And more importantly, John saw the resurrected Christ. He saw the wounds in Jesus' hands and feet. He saw Thomas, so he places his finger in them. John is an eyewitness of Christ. And part of the reality for us as Christians, where does the Christian faith come from? How do we hear about Jesus? It is through these apostles. It is through these witnesses. And so I wanted the sermon to function that way of, once again, we have this faith, we have this promise of Christ through his witness, and specifically the witness of John.
What was that verse that you quoted in the sermon about us being addressed as little children?
Yeah, it's in 1 John. So John writes his gospel, he writes Revelation, and you get 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 1st John being the longest, and throughout that letter, John uses the language of children, my children, little children. And it comes up again and again. And so I just picked one of the passages where it talks about abide in him, abide in Christ, so that we'll stand in confidence at his coming. And we won't shrink back in guilt, you know, at his appearing. I love the tenderness of John in that letter. He speaks about some really challenging topics. He speaks about the realities of our sin, the temptations of idolatry, and so on. But reportedly, John, to his dying days, as he was carried to church in his old age, imagine this, his brothers and sisters carrying, right, elderly John to church, and it's reported he kept imploring them to love one another. And I think that's also why John 13 was a suggested reading for the gospel reading, because that's the new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. And John embodied, as much as he could, the love of his Savior. And more importantly, his Savior saved him, and John's Savior has saved us.
So John, in this very loving way, is almost like a father telling his dear children, look to Jesus.
Yeah.
Trust him.
Yeah, and this is a really nice piece of, I don't know if you're getting into the catechism and all, but thinking about the fourth commandment, you think about honor your father and mother, it is not just our biological father and mother implied in there, it's all earthly authorities, but it's even thinking about our spiritual fathers and mothers in the faith. And John very much taking up that role and mantle little children. And that's why I thought it was a neat way to get into the topic of the day by talking about watching movies with my children. Think about that parental-child relationship as well, of kind of joining with them in that journey of seeing that movie and the assurance of it is going to be okay. We're going to get through this. You know, the darkness will be defeated.
To still, you mentioned when the movie, when there was conflict in the movie, and then you look to your children and you still comfort them, but they're in the midst of that. There's still fear in their eyes. And so John, it's like that with the Apostle John, right? And his brothers and sisters in the faith that he was trying to point to Christ was, he probably saw the fear in their eyes as well.
Right, but. Right. And again, it's that idea of that confidence and that grieving. I remember one time I had a close friend, a mentor of mine, share about the death of his mother. And it was over text message, and we were talking about it. And at one point, I just kind of shared, well, Christ is risen. And, you know, just that promise. And yeah, that's what it comes down to. And yet he responded, yes, but it still hurts. I mean, that's the Christian life right now. Yes, the confidence, Christ is risen. It's Easter 5, and it's been Easter ever since the first Easter Sunday. You know, that is our course, is the resurrection of our bodies, the ending of death and tears. But it still hurts right now. There are still tears and pain and grieving. And I don't like this. And it's that mixture of both. And so thinking about my children, watching the movie with them, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. You know, they were still facing that fear. You know, it wasn't just magically resolved. It still had to be endured. And yeah, it's that's kind of what I want to try to embody with the sermon, was that duality of feeling.
And going back to the small catechism, thinking about all the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, they always start out in the meanings that this will happen even without our prayers. So knowing that God's kingdom will come and his will be done, and he's going to deliver us from evil, all of that. Yeah, there's still just that fear in there, and that pain, and just needing to trust in God that he'll still lead us through this earthly life and all of it to himself, right? To his return, right? Back to Revelation 21, to be able to not just read about that vision, but see it for ourselves.
You know, I like how you bring that in with the catechism. You know, God's kingdom certainly comes to us. God's will is done. God's name is kept holy. But our prayer is that it would be holy in our lives, that God's kingdom would come into our lives.
That we would still realize that, even though we don't see it with our eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And in a lot of ways, part of why we pray as Christians is because we look around and say, I still don't like this. It's still not right. Prayer is imploring our God, help me continue to walk in the way, because it just doesn't look like the way it's supposed to be.
Right? Our neediness drives us to prayer. And I guess that almost is kind of answering my next question, but I was just going to ask you, when we're in the midst of grief or pain or tears or whatever that the reason is that we're saying, I don't like this, how can we look past it in faith and focus on Revelation 21. I mean, would prayer be a part of that?
I think prayer is certainly a part of it, of trusting that God hears our prayers, that his Spirit prays in our behalf in groanings too deep for words to express. And I think also part of it is to gather together as the community of the church and to retell and to reassure each other of the story that it is happening in Christ and it will be brought to its final conclusion.
And yes, I love that you brought up the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. But then I also thought how we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So just the saints that go before us as well are there with Christ, you know, encouraging us to fight the good fight and finish the race.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and yeah. Let us run with
perseverance. Has been through this too. They were in our shoes, right?
Right. And it's the beauty of
John was in our shoes even.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, and, you know, in imploring little children, you know, run the race, fight the good fight. I think about Hebrews, you know, let us, you know, run the race, right? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And this is after that beautiful by faith chapter of, as the church, we're always continuing generation after generation, you know, walking where our fathers and mothers in the faith have trod.
Yeah. So when we are praying, we're not doing that alone. They're with us as well. Mm-hmm. Praying to Christ for him to come again and just to be with us in all, in our griefs. I have a here submitted question. What was the movie you were talking about at the beginning of the sermon? Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it was not Jurassic Park. No, we were watching the movie Beauty and the Beast with the kids. And yeah, like a lot of Disney movies, there's definitely some sort of a moment of trauma or darkness. And that sets the stage for the conflict and everything to bring about the resolution. So, yeah, Beauty and the Beast.
I forget how dark some of those parts can be. It can be really scary.
Right, right. And it's interesting how I've kind of wondered about that as adults. Like, you hear that all the time with parents of, oh, I forgot that part was in the movie, right? And maybe I should have pre-screened that. And there's something to it to have kids, when they come across those moments, realize, oh yeah, that is that impactful.
Yes. And I think as adults, we've seen these movies so many times and we know that happy ending. We really do know that everything's going to be okay. And like you said, we forget the conflict. And I think to get to see it through children's eyes does bring us back to...
Yeah.
How hard it is.
Yeah. And what it's like to journey through that for the first time, to journey through the darkness and to face the evil and to not know the resolution. And that's the Christian life is we're still in the middle of that journey. We're not at the beginning. We're not at the end. It is the middle. And it is the middle until Christ returns. And to not forget that and not to think too glibly about, Jesus is risen. It's fine. It's still, I don't like this.
And to add on to that, I mean, yes, it's the middle, but it's also the end, right? I mean, we're in the end times. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it certainly feels long and certainly feels like we have a lifetime to go. But I mean, Jesus did say it is finished and we're waiting for the culmination of all of this.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the beautiful things about the Christian story. Is that the end of the world broke into the middle. You know, Judgment Day actually has happened. It happened on Good Friday.
Yep.
And all of God's wrath, all of God's judgment poured out on his holy son. That's what was finished. And the end of the world broke in ahead of time. This was to be the resurrection of the dead on the last day. Well, Christ has already risen today. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. And so what you're getting into is another tension to keep in mind with the faith is that there is this now reality. Yes, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation now. Your baptism, you died and rose with Christ today. And there's also a not yet. And I think a lot of this sermon on Sunday was emphasizing the not yet while trusting, you know, the now is still present, but we can't overemphasize one, you know, at the expense of the other.
That's true. And that's the cool thing about getting to talk about it now is you emphasize the not yet in your sermon, but now we get to reflect on that, but also talk about the now and how I was just thinking too, just we are blessed in a way that the disciples and the people in scripture didn't have the same perspective that we do. And, you know, we have been gifted with the Holy Spirit through our baptisms. And the now, like you said, the now matters just as much, right? We have to hold them in tension and remember both of them.
Right, right. And so even going back to my example of my mentor who was grieving the death of his mother, but it still hurts. You know, I was speaking a word of now, you know, Christ is risen. But he's also acknowledging that not yet.
He's at the foot of the cross.
Right, yeah.
There, right?
Right, for sure. Yeah, yes, Christ is risen, but my mother's not yet. She will be.
And I think to respect people who are in that not yet right now and are grieving, like, that matters, and that's important, and that's part of the Christian journey, and not just to gloss it over with the, well, Christ is risen now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the not yet allows us to validate the pain and to acknowledge that I don't like this and to call it for what it is. And it's not this over-realized eschatology, we might say, but it's, yes, the end of the world has happened in Christ. And in some sense, the end of the world is yet to take place. And that's our life, is this confidence and yet a life of grieving. And it's both. And you should feel that every time you go to a funeral, every time you're at the graveside and you say, death, where's your sting? And I say that when I stand next to the casket. It's both. And that's what it is until Christ returns. And that was my hope with the sermon, was to really embody that experience, that reality, because that is what it is to live as a Christian today, now, until Christ returns. And thankfully, he will.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for just your words about the sermon. And I very much think you, when you preach, you did embody that Christian truth. So thank you. This wraps up the episode for today. Thanks, you guys, for listening to the discussion. In case you missed today's sermon or would want to listen to it again, the link to the sermon is in the show notes. Also, you can find our sermon on the church website, stjohndublin.org. If you, the listener, would like to submit a question about a sermon, please email us at podcast@stjohndublin.org. Thank you, Pastor, for joining me and for feeding us the word this week.
Yeah, I thought of another terrible sermon idea for Ascension Day. And that would be Jesus ascended to heaven, and he's just kind of locked away at the right hand of his Father, and he can't be with you always as he promised. That drives me nuts too, because he's really there in the bread and the wine is supper. He is present with us always. And so that would be another bad sermon idea for on Ascension Day.
You just need a list of these bad ideas.
Yeah, hopefully Vicar listens to this episode so he doesn't...
I hope so.
Yeah, we'll find out.
All right, bye you guys.
See y'all.